Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to you about religion and communism rather from the point of view of a religious sociologist. Certainly many of us will remember, as on the first day of this meeting we were talking about democracy and liberalism, and I think it was myself who tried to point out that democracy is a mere frame, whereas, in other words, it says here is a constitutional setup, and you can, into this frame, by vote, by majority vote, you can put in all sorts of pictures. Communism, on the other hand, is a picture. And hence, of course, the practical advantage of concrete communism over non-concrete democracy. The second aspect of our problem is religion now within the political framework. As we know, in the free world, that means now the continental free world, south of the kingdoms, the Protestant kingdoms of Northern Europe, you have Christian democratic parties who fulfill a very important role in stemming the tide of communism. And after the bankruptcy, the moral bankruptcy of nationalism, and the weakening of patriotism, and the total discredit of racism, and the impossibility to mobilize large masses of people for liberalism, because the vast masses are not interested in liberty, they will always vote for safety, what they consider to be safety. The only thing, in other words, the only possible other item on which politics could be based, of course, was religion, and therefore you have the success or the comparative success of the Christian democratic parties. And it's rather interesting, a little note, that we still have, in Gravis de Communis, an encyclical of Leo XIII, who formally forbids the use of the term Christian democratic as a political term. It should only signify social action. And yet, of course, having the choice, the Christian democratic parties, and of course democracy looming very large, nothing else could be done. And of course, from this we can see that the dream, unfortunately it's a liberal dream, that religion and politics should not mix, that they should be kept in airtight compartments, of course, is complete foolery, because every highly developed religion, every Hochreligion, unavoidably has to mix in politics and concrete politics, especially if these politics have, or the political situations have, an ideological character. And now we come, of course, to the question, to what extent is the Catholic faith a real obstacle to communism, which we, of course, approach the South American problem? And the answer is, obviously, the Catholic faith will only be an obstacle to communization if it really acts as a Hochreligion, as a highly developed religion. In other words, if it is not only a sentimental, but also an intellectual proposition. As a mere sentimentality, the Catholic faith is no dike, no defense whatsoever against the communist menace. And whether a branch of the Catholic Church is effective in this respect depends mostly, largely, maybe even exclusively, from the degree of methodical and first-rate religious instruction and education in childhood and adolescence, and preferably on universities. And of course, here we immediately must come to the recognition that in many Catholic countries, for instance, that is France. In France, you have a situation analogous to the United States. Christian instruction is banned from the elementary schools. There's a modicum of Christian instruction possible in the lycée. The aumoniers, you have the case of Italy, where until 1923 there was no instruction in the state schools whatsoever. It was only introduced by Mussolini. And now in Italy here, it's 1 hour a week. The school leaving age is the age of 12. And there is, in large parts of Italy, in the center and in the south, a totally insufficient number of priests even to teach religion. So religious instruction in this country here is extremely haphazard. Banned from the French state schools. On the other hand, in a country, for instance, like Holland, which has probably the most complete Catholic education system, obviously, the number of a practicing Catholic who votes the communist ticket is well nigh unimaginable. On the other hand, I must warn you from the very easy interpretation that the Catholic nations have a natural tendency towards communism. They have not. The Catholic temper is extremely liberal and libertarian. It is revolutionary, not evolutionary. Always bear in mind that the Reformation was really and truly a medieval reaction against humanism and against the spirit of the Renaissance. So in other words, Protestants and Catholic nations are novarum rerum cupidi. They are restless, they are extremists, they are ideologically divided, they have very little self-control, they have very little punctuality, whereas discipline and self-discipline characterizes the so-called Protestant nations. To what extent they are really Protestant nations and not have become these nations, in other words, have had an influence and rather an evolution, very often the very contrary of what the reformers thought, we cannot touch upon here. But as we know very well in the Catholic world, the things are broken and not bent. They are revolutionary, not evolutionary. The democratic republic, a la longue in the Catholic and the Greek Orthodox world, is absolutely out of question. And here lies one of the very, very grave mistakes done by the powerful Anglo-Saxon nations who thought they can make the Catholic Greek Orthodox world, that means the vast majority of the Christian world, safe for democracy. I only know about one Catholic democratic republic which could really keep its character, rather two, Andorra and San Marino. Because in every other Catholic or Greek Orthodox nations, there have been the most violent upheavals, and of course they've constantly had new constitutions, new faces, new institutions, everything new. What about the great communist parties in the Catholic world? Here we must really investigate what does it mean if Mr. A, if Monsieur Duval, or Mr. or Signor Brampolini, when they vote the communist ticket, to what extent are they convinced communists? And of course, in the vast majority of cases, they are not. They have no idea what communism really stands for. To what extent, a very important question, the one so powerful anarchical parties of the Catholic world, France and Italy especially, of course also Spain, especially of course Spain, I should say, have really been communized upon a real mistake and an error that communism could pose in the sense, as we use the word Bolshevism, of course, very, very, very wrongly. In other words, just the idea, the notion that comes a wonderful day, we can shoot the policeman and have total liberty. And of course, communism is just the very contrary of that. In other words, to what extent communists in France and Italy are really deluded anarchists. The largest communist parties are not those of France, of course, and Italy and for Europe, but those of Iceland with a very high living standard, as I pointed out to you, and Finland, and you can really say countries with high living standards, and I'm afraid and I'm convinced that the communist voters in these countries are more truly consciously communistic than they are either in France or Italy. Especially if in Finland there is practically no excuse, because the Finland have a first-hand experience what communism really is. And now to the Latin American situation. Latin America, it is absolutely impossible to generalize about Latin America. There are three major parts, and then of course we should even go into further details, it's impossible. We have a mixed zone from Mexico down to Paraguay, where the population is only in part white, where a very large sector is Cholo or Mestizo, and again, a very large sector is purely Indian. Then you have the three truly white countries, that is Chile, Argentina, and Uruguay, and then you have the Brazilian world. Now, what about this, the Catholic religion in South America? In the mixed region, I want to speak mainly about the mixed region because, of course, time is very limited. Catholic religion, there existed only for 400, 450, 500 years, and that's absolutely nothing. That is absolutely nothing because we have to realize how long it took in Europe until finally Christianity really formed and fashioned the minds and outlooks of people. Where I come from in the Tyrol, even 150 years ago, pagan practices and notions and ideas and superstitions were abounding. In other words, what we have there in that mixed zone is a Christianity, which is roughly the Christianity, at Carlovingian times in Europe, with a tremendous amount of analogies. With foreign priests, for instance, in Peru, the majority of the priests are foreign priests, they're imported, as we had foreign priests coming from England and coming from Ireland and coming from Italy. You have the only characteristic which is common to that whole Latin American world, there's only one thing, and this is the fact that the vocations are exceedingly scarce. Tremendous problem of priests, and therefore also a problem of religious instruction. The piety, on the other hand, the natural piety is very profound. Now, the Catholic faith is very deep in the souls, but it is not deep really in the minds. It's, to have to use the German word here, der Geist. And of course, the forms of thinking and acting is only barely touched by the Catholic faith. You have a priesthood living there in Latin America in desperate, not in poverty, but in misery. Poverty is perfectly all right. Why not be poor? I mean, it's Christian counsel. But misery is something else. Naturally, the concubinage in the Andine region is the rule, is by no means the exception, as in Europe in these centuries. And then, of course, the uneasy relationship between church and state in almost all of these countries. In some countries, you have formal separation, as you have it in Bolivia, and as you have it in Ecuador, and you have it in Uruguay. And then the mere fact that the Spanish so-called Latin American Revolution has taken place under the auspices of the ideas of the French Revolution and of Enlightenment as a Jacobin character. The Jacobin hat, the frigid cap, figures in the coat of arms of a number of South American states. In other words, the character was oligarchic. It was the Madrid government, really, who was the friend of the lower classes, the friend of the Indians. It was an aristocratic, but leftist aristocratic revolution. And therefore, of course, let us say the tradition of a suspicion towards the church by the ruling classes is very strong indeed. And therefore, a most unharmonious development. And of course, on the other hand, you see that the orders, which play a very important role, the Catholic orders, they still have to teach the simple things. For instance, printing and writing and reading, the Sutatenza movement through radio. In other words, you cannot imagine Christianity without a sufficient development of culture and civilization. Something you see there very strong. And finally, as a last point, I would only mention the social question, the permanent outcry that the church, of course, is siding with the rich. On the other hand, the outcry that the enormous differences between poverty, between the poor and the rich, no social reform would do anything, because the ethics of work as we have it in Western Europe and as we have it in North America does not exist yet in the mixed zone. It is something absolutely non-existing. If you go in Bogota, you will see immediately that one half of the people tries to sell lottery tickets, paraoi, to the other half of the population, and those who do not sell lottery tickets are picking the pockets. The work fury which we have developed is again a very late development in Europe. And thus, of course, you see religion really not as a dark. And yet, at the same time, I'm convinced it is the only hope. Because religion is the only thing which really and truly can provide a part of a picture. Again, I'm referring to picture and frame. Why the church is in such a parlous state of affairs, there are many explanations, but I, on the whole, I would largely blame headquarters. That would mean I would largely blame Rome, which still thinks and still acts on the supposition that you can run a world church after local, Italian, or if you like, European images, and you cannot do that. And here lies the tragedy, that the only force which could serve as a tie on communism under the present circumstances is not. Thank you so much.